Pioneers vs. Pretenders, another very cool episode. I'm your host, Joe Human, and we are speaking to someone very interesting today. Very cool dude that I've got to know digitally. I think our friendship started off digitally, and I was like, this guy's so cool. You know, one day I'm going to get a picture from this guy. You know, it's Austin Malema speaking to us. Do you think you're a public figure? Can I call you a public figure?
Not yet. I think, you know, there's a little misconception about what public figures are. Just because Instagram allows you to change your account to a public figure doesn't mean you're a public figure yet. I don't even think mine says public figure, it just says photographer. Mm. But I think, you know, in time I will be a public figure. We will get there.
What was it like, man? Growing up, did you always think that you were going to be end up in the creative space?
I think, you know, growing up, I didn't really think I was going to be in the entertainment space. When I was younger, I think I wanted to be a lawyer. And then when I was in grade six and seven at Riverstands Primary School, that's when I got some interest into getting into entertainment, because I wanted to be a writer at some point. And then got into high school, and I was like, I don't know, man, maybe I'm gonna be a lawyer, you know. And then later on in matric, that's when it all changed. I think that's when I definitely want to be in entertainment. I just didn't know what part of entertainment. I wanted to be a director at one point. I was like, look, I'm gonna be a director, I'm gonna go study film, and I'm gonna be a director, I'm gonna be rich and famous.
I think you're getting there.
You know, the dream is always to be rich and famous. I don't know why rich and fame always go hand in hand, but it seems if you're famous, you have to be rich. And if you're rich, you also have to be famous. don't choke, bro. But we all know it's a misconception that rich people are famous and famous people are rich. So, you know, it doesn't mean that just because you're famous in South Africa, you have an abundance of wealth. Mm. But yeah, I think it's been one of those things that I wanted to be in entertainment, I think, you know, twice in my life, from when I was younger and in high school. And I guess, you know, went and studied film and then ended up where we are now.
Was it sort of like a difficult sort of field to get into growing up? Like, especially because I know from black families.
Yeah.
If you want to get into the creative space, they look at you in the weirdest, you know, look, and I think they don't understand.
Yeah, I think, you know, my mom was supportive, to an extent. You know, I was told I've got 3 years to finish what I'm doing, and she's not going to pay for anything else.
Hectic.
You know, and I had to make it happen in those 3 years. Luckily, I got a bursary to do my honors. But, you know, she kind of supported me, even though she didn't understand what it was about. The only time my mom didn't support me was when I quit my job. That was the only time. She kind of like, she's like, oh, okay, cool, now you're making money, whatever. And then I'm like, nah, I want to quit my job and just be self-employed. And she was like, what the hell? Are you crazy? And, you know, after a couple of months, she saw that it was worth it, you know, being self-employed. So I did quite well. So I never really got questioned about it. To be honest, I just got warned about the drugs and, you know, the typical thing, you know. I think black families, they see how entertainment is portrayed on TV, and they think that's what really, really happens. But it's what's on TV is exaggerated compared to what happens in real life.
Mm.
Yeah.
What would you say made you find your purpose?
What made me find my purpose? Yeah, that's a hard one. I don't think I found my purpose yet. I think I'm
still... Do you think you're living in it?
I'm probably living in it, or I'm probably living it, but just because I'm so busy inside, it's hard to look out, you know. It's the same thing as when somebody says, do you think you're living your best life, or you've reached your goals? You know, we never really see the goals that we've smashed out, because we now set new goals while we're smashing those that... It just seems like you never really reach your goal. But although if you sit back and you're like, you know, I've done so much. Like, I've made so much money, I've done so much work, I've met all my idols.
Mm.
You know, then you start realizing, damn, I've actually, like, smashed all my goals, and right now I have set more goals, but I never really saw it because I was so busy living that I never really, I never sat back and enjoyed those moments. So I think I'm probably, like, you know, living my purpose now, but I think there's a lot more to my purpose, you know. Mm. I think I'm doing quite well for where I am, but there's still quite a bit that I could give back. So I think that's the next part of the career, you know, finding a way to give back to those who want to get into the industry or any other spaces that I can give back to.
You know, one thing that I've sort of noticed about purpose is that there's a lot of strength from the inspiration that we draw from a lot of things, you know, and being a creative, you we all have something that constantly inspires us, something that constantly keeps us going. Where would you say you draw your inspiration from?
I think I draw my inspiration from failure. You know, it's when I say failure, is not that I failed, but I fear failure so much that I cannot fail. That's my biggest inspiration, because whatever I take on, I need to make it happen, because if I don't make it happen, then I will be a failure to myself, you know. And I never want to fail at anything that I do. That's why I always work as hard as I can. Even if I hit rock bottom, I'm never going to just let it go. I'm going to get back up and ride the horse until we get to where we need to go. I just never want to fail. I'm always competing with myself. I think that's the best way to put it. I compete with myself to beat myself. Because if I fail, I'm the one who feels like the loser. You know, I think failure is the worst thing to ever feel for anyone, especially if you wanted to succeed in something.
Mm.
You know, if you fail, you beat yourself up about it because there was no one else who could help you. So I think my biggest drive or inspiration from the fear of failing.
You know, speaking about failure, I know we're speaking about it from such a high level and we're sort of generalizing it, but
yeah.
Throughout your process and throughout getting to where you are, there's obviously been certain failures or challenges that you have, you know, accumulated. What were those challenges and how did you overcome them?
I think, you know, there's in any space, there's so many challenges that we get to face, you know. I think for me, one of them is just breaking into the industry was one of the hardest things, you know. We all think it's simple. Austin Malema is this person that everybody knows, but nobody really knows about the other 5 years before 2016. Mm. Or there's some people who know about the 5 years before 2016.
What are those 5 years? That's what I'm interested in. That's what the listeners are interested in.
The five years of, like, starting my Instagram account where, you know, I was shooting on my cell phone, shooting cars, small cars, like toy cars and small things, just getting into photography, you know, not making it into the space where I wanted to be, which was the entertainment space where the bigger guys would book me, or, you know, I always say when I got into the space was to hang out with those big guys, and the camera was allowing me to do that. But, you know, there were times where I asked, like, big event organizers if I could shoot with them, and I got denied. And it felt like, you know, I was not good enough at that time. You know, we're not going to name drop, but there's a lot of, like, big event organizers that literally said no to me when I was starting out. And I believed I was good enough compared to the guys, you know, who were booking me to shoot for the same event organizers.
Mm.
And I was like, why can't I just do this myself, you know? And these guys shot me down, people that are asked for work and shot me down. Even until now, I still get shot down on certain things. But for today, you know, I feel like the worst thing, there's nothing worse than not asking, because the worst anybody can say is no. So in that extent, I always put my hand out for anything that I want to do.
Mm.
And I don't really fear someone else saying no, at least I've asked. I think when I was talking about my own failure, it was about me failing at doing things and not other people saying no. So I think for the 4 years of my varsity life, when I was in varsity, I was always just trying to do stuff for artists. know, I was always trying to push myself to do stuff for artists, event organizers, trying to get into the entertainment space. And I just, you know, many doors got closed on me. Not that I remember all of them. I remember certain ones because those people are still relevant today, and some might not be relevant. But I felt like, you know, I was not good enough, and there were times where I wanted to give up, you know.
Austin, just pause there, because as a creative or a creator, you know, when you're putting out work, that's when you're like at your most vulnerable, because you're putting all of you into that piece of artwork or that piece of project, you know. And to be able to go and knock on a door and for someone to say no. There's people that would completely give up and stop. And, you know, for you, what was that shift? What was that motivation to say, okay, let me go back? And when you went back, what did you do different?
I'll tell you what I've always said, right? And I'm going to make this example. I remember a couple of times that I got into a tiff with AKA twice over credit. First one was at Joburg Day, and then the other one was the Metros in Durban. It was the Thumbers actually in Durban. And, you know, one of the things, because I always wanted to work with him. That's the truth of the matter, is I always wanted to work with him because he was such a big name. But we always got into these tiffs because I believed in something else, he believed something else, right? And I felt like we didn't like each other because I wanted my credit, and he's like, whatever, that's my picture, you took a picture of me, why should I be giving you credit? And, you know, the one thing that drove me, and it's crazy, and people might judge me for this, but I always said, no matter what happens, I will work with him, because I will always be the best at what I do, and he will always see my work week in, week out. You will see my work on the biggest stars' names. My tag will be under the biggest stars' names, your friends, the circle around you. They will have my tag on them that you will not deny me. You know, I think that was one of the drives, you know, not just for AKA, for anyone that I've wanted to work with, is to say, you will see my name. Even if you already know me, you will see me, and eventually you will work with me. Even if it's not today, not tomorrow. I think AKA and I had a tiff for about 3 years, and about 4 or 5 years later, we worked together. You know, and that's what it is for me. I believe that, you know, we might have our differences, but if we're going to work together, eventually it will happen, because I will work hard to the bone that you will always see my work, and it will always prove to be at its peak every single time.
How does a young creative or aspiring photographer sort of break into the industry?
You know, it's crazy how, you know, when we started, I always warn people not to do what we did, and it sounds selfish, but when we started, we were just shooting everybody for cred. We would go into an event, shoot 100 people, send them the photos, then they put them out. Sounded great. You got the followers, whatever. But I believe, you know, if you are a creative today, you know, people should be paying you for your work, right? And as a young kid trying to break into the industry, you should not be told about exposure or your cred or whatever. You should be getting something out of that stuff. Getting into the industry is a very simple thing. You've got the skill, you just have to get yourself into the place where the people you want to shoot are, and show the people. The world of Instagram, social media, has just made it so much easier for visual creators to be found and seen. A lot of kids are growing just because someone saw them on Instagram. One of the guys I work with, I saw his work on Twitter, you know, and all it is putting your work out to the right people. And never feel like nobody's watching your work, because even with me, sometimes I walk into meetings or into like people who are like big names, celebrated people, and they're like, dude, we know who you are. And I'm like, yeah, but I've been trying to get your attention for the longest time. And then people end up telling you about what you did whenever, and you're like, damn, these people are actually watching me, but they never say anything. So what we are failing to see is, we want the validation to be happening right now, but behind the doors, these people are actually like writing your name down. They want to work with you, but it's not, you're just rushing the process. You want it to happen today, And when it eventually happens, you're like, damn, man, how did this happen? Like, the craziest thing is, I've seen, so this week I shot with DJ Fresh. And for some reason, at the end, even during the shoot, and he's like, you're good. You should look into photography. You should look at making this your career. And I'm like, man, for the longest time, I used to listen to this guy on YFM, you know, when I was a kid. And I, you know, when you make it.
The age gap, the history.
And then he, in the end, he's like, yeah, like, I know who you are.
Mm.
And for, you know, I've shot this guy at events, never got that validation. And then it happens at a photo shoot that we're doing together. You know, but for the longest time, I thought I'd get it on social media, you know, where I take pictures of him and tag him or whatever, and I'd see that validation come from there. No, that is not where it's going to come from.
How do you stay consistent and...
It's the hunger.
And humble, because, I mean, look, there's a lot of people that would blow up, in inverted commas,
yeah,
where their work has really been recognized and a lot of people are knowing them. And that sort of builds and strokes their egos and they change. You know, how have you
remained on
the ground?
That's another thing that has to do with fear. You know, we all want our egos to be stroked, right? But my biggest thing is failing. Because if you fail and your ego is that high, how are you going to get back up?
Yeah.
Because you will not be willing to take help from anybody. You will not be willing to start from the bottom. You will not be willing to work for scraps just to get your name back up.
Mm.
You know, because a lot of us fail and we're still talented, but the biggest thing is our egos. I am not going to work for less than what I used to earn when I was at my peak.
Mm.
How are you supposed to try get back to your peak when you are given an opportunity to try again, but you refuse it?
Mm.
You know, and I think... You know, and that's why I say my biggest thing or my biggest fear is failing, because when you fail, everybody forgets about you. They talk about you in past tenses. Even if you're still as talented, you know, you're a past tense now. And when you fail, the pressure's on you to get back up. But if your ego was that high as well, how are you going to get back up if you're not willing to start from the bottom again?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens, you know. We all want our egos to get stroked. That's just the truth, you know. It feels great for people to praise you. It feels good for people to be telling you they like your work, and you will feel like you have achieved something.
Mm.
But that is not... Is that all you are here for? You know, are you here to get your ego stroked, make the money, and then when the money's gone, what else do you have? Nothing else.
Mm.
I feel like as long as you are... a person that people can still relate to, you're humble and you're easy to work with, no matter what happens, you can fail and people will still give you a chance. And as long as you still work at it and you still want to prevail, you will make it.
Mm.
Like, I feel like ignorant people don't get given enough chances, because the rest of the world is looking for people who are humble and people you can work with for as long as you can. And, you know, sometimes it's not your talent. I remember I was having a conversation with someone and they said, sometimes it's not your talent that gets you your job. It's your personality.
Mm.
And that's what it is for me. I feel like my personality also drives a lot of people to want to work with me. Not because I am the best photographer in the country. Mm. I do feel like I am one of the best photographers in the country. But also my personality plays into how clients view me.
Because
they're like, you know what? We don't want to work with an ignorant person or arrogant person who will be telling us what we should be doing, how we should be doing, whatever. No, if we work with Austin, because we worked with him before, he was willing to take direction and give us input on how we should be doing this. Then it makes it easier for clients to say, yeah, actually, you're right, we should work with Austin.
Do you think that adds more value to be open to learn and unlearn, and also just give client direction? Because a lot of creatives, and it's something that I always, I mean, I've got a photographer that I work with,
yeah,
and I always tell him, bro, don't send a client an invoice just saying photography.
Yeah.
X amount. Like, yeah. Bill for your process, bill for added value.
Yeah.
You know, show the client show that the client you actually know the full scope of your
what
work.
What you're doing.
You
yeah.
know, the creative direction, the venue, sourcing. Like, yeah. You know?
And, well, that's the added value of what it is, and I might not be answering your first question, that's the thing. But I just believe, you know, that the part that you're talking about now, is part of the knowledge that a lot of young people don't have about the industry, which is the problem.
Mm.
You know, but I just believe if you've got great relationships with a lot of people, it makes it easier for people to want to work with you because you're a direct line to a lot of other people. And with the knowledge as well, then you are able to say, okay, cool. So I'm a photographer. I'm not just charging you for photography. I'm charging you for creative direction on ABC.
Mm.
I'm charging you for the studio. I'm charging you for the gear. You know, there's so many other things that people don't look at. Because a lot of these young kids just say, oh, I'm a photographer. I'm going to charge you just for the photography. There's a whole process. There's what you do in pre-prod, production, post-production. All those things have to be paid for, not just the production itself. Are you working for free in pre-prod and in post? You know, there's a lot of things that young people have to learn, and you know, it's up to us, the generation that's walking before them, to teach them so they can run.
You know, we were chatting about just how putting out your work, you know, could actually get you more work.
Yeah.
There's obviously more that goes into it. So how have you sort of used your digital platforms to sort of just amplify the brand that you're building?
I think, you know, in the beginning, my main thing was just to put out as much work as I can, to try to get as much work as I could, right?
Mm.
And what I've recently learned was put out the work you want to be booked for. Because that makes a lot more sense instead of, you know, we took social media and, you know, we just bamboed our feeds with whatever we could put out.
Like,
you know, I want to put out events. I want to put out portraits. I want to put out, like, celebrities. What do you really want to get booked for?
Mm.
And it's that separates you from everyone. Like, for me now, I want to be doing commercial photography. I won't be putting out events on my feed because that leaves me to be boxed in a space of event photography.
Mm.
And that's not where I really want to be. You know, that's where I made my name. But it's easier for me to create the content that I want to be booked out for and put that out. And then people start seeing the change. They're like, oh, okay, cool. Mm. It seems Austin is doing a lot more editorial stuff. Maybe we should try and book him for that.
Mm.
You know, and that's one way we should be looking at our feeds as content creators. What kind of content do I want to be booked for? What kind of stuff do I want to be known for?
Mm.
Because for the longest time, everybody thought Austin is just an event photographer, you know. But put me in studio, I will light the shit out of it and shoot like some really great, beautiful shots. But a lot of people never saw that. So it's just a bit of understanding where you want to be.
What's sort of like the direction right now with your brand? I mean, you recently left the company that you're working for, and you're
company sort of, I started.
So you're starting from zero, but of level 10. You know?
Yeah. I love that. I don't think anybody said it like that. And also myself, because I always see it as starting at zero, though. Mm. But because starting at zero is great. You have a great perspective at the bottom, because you've been at the top.
Mm.
You know how it feels. So when you start at zero, you know what you are striving to achieve. And it's always great, man. I've never feared starting from the bottom. I always enjoy starting from the bottom, because there's some steps that you probably missed when you started previously that you can redo and do better now.
True.
Which is a great lesson for anyone to learn, you know. But right now, my head is, sitting in many different places.
Which is okay. Normal.
I think the biggest thing for me right now is to try rebuild. And, you know, I've always wanted to own a company that is a an agency that services different spectrums of photography or different aspects of photography and videography. And that's what I try to do at Pixel Collective, and that didn't seem to work out for me really well, and that's why I left. And what I want to do now is take what I learned from that process of starting Pixel Collective into the dream, you know, that is trying to build the very same dream, but with a difference, you know. You know, when we started Pixel Collective, we didn't, I don't think we had a vision of what we wanted to do in terms of, like on paper, we all had different dreams as the three owners. And I think that was one of the biggest problems, you know. But what I learned from that was, when I got into this new company that I'm starting, is create one dream and put it down just so you know where you're going. You know, because from the outside, everybody sees great success.
The amazing work.
Yeah. But the inside, it's kind of like you're running around like headless chickens trying to find where we're going, and we don't really have a direction. You know, and I think it's easier if now, you know, like now I'm speaking to different people who've been in the business industry for long, trying to find like the ways that these guys have made it, you know, from business coaches, mentors, trying to see how these things can be done properly, that you don't seem to be running on a shell, but with no real direction. And everybody like seems to be praising you from the outside, and then inside you're like, oh my god, if only you knew, like, it's hot. We make it look like it's great, but it's hot inside, and we're just surviving, you know. And I just want to build something solid. Where I am now, I can't really say this is what it is. I'm building on a dream that I've had for 5 years, you know. Pixel Collective was a dream I had for 4 years when I approached the two people that I started the company with. But now I am like 5 years, I've spent a year at Pixel Collective. Now I'm starting my own thing again, which is 5 years later. And I'm like, damn, like I feel like I'm failing, but I am failing a step ahead. I'm not failing a step back. Yeah, I'm failing forward because at least I've tried it. I know what works. I know what doesn't. Now, when I'm here today, I'm like, okay, cool. This is what we did at Pixel Collective, and that this is why it didn't work, and this is what I should be doing here. I think that's what it is. But you know, I just want to build a company that can hire like young creatives in different spaces. You know, I think what it is, it's supposed to be a small agency, to be honest. It's not just a photography company. It's supposed to be a content creation agency that caters to the brands that we work with and other brands that we could approach. I feel like that's what it is. It's supposed to be like all the other boutique agencies that exist, but not to the scale of that. We should just also still specialize in what we're doing. But the problem with all these things is, remember, we are the content creators.
True.
Not the agency. The agency only gives you the brief. We are the content creators. And why should we still be getting briefs from agency when we can create the content ourselves and sell it to the agencies and the client? And I think that's why I'm saying what we're building is an agency, not just a photography agency or photography studio company or whatever we want to place it as. We're building an agency that's going to create content, because that's what we do at these events. As photographers, videographers, bloggers, all we do is we make the content. We create the content ourselves, and that's what we should be paid for, creating the content, not just, oh no, you're a photographer, just come shoot. No. I'm not just a photographer. If I was just a photographer, you could all just stand in a line and I'll just take pictures. But now I need to go create content. I need to go find moments. Yeah. That's the content that you signed up for, isn't it? So
speaking of content, quickly before we end this really cool conversation.
Yeah.
What role do you think you as photographers, especially African photographers, are playing in sort of sending out the narrative of, you know, the spaces and the environments and what's happening in our country, you know, the experiences What role do you guys, do you think you guys play as a voice?
I think we play a very important role because the arts are one of the biggest exports that we have in the country. You know, and people might not see it as that, but if you look at the likes of your Travis, your Tebe, those guys are celebrated more internationally than in the country. Mm. What does that say? That says people who are looking inside Africa actually love what they see from us. And the great thing about most of it is that it is not poor Africa. It is rich Africa, rich in culture, rich in diversity, rich in love. You people fall in love with your work because of what it represents. Mm. You know, a lot of people are getting work that we never thought we would get at like 3-4 years ago from international agencies because right. they're looking at us and they're like, man, we really love how you represent your country or how you represent your hood. You know, you're from your Khumutsaneto, you know, your Lesedi, Mutwahae. Those guys know how to represent hood life so well that even in the suburbs, you envy it and you understand it, you know. And I feel like that's how the international community looks at the African artists. And they're like, man, these guys are not crying or waiting for us to come help them. They actually showing that they can do this without us. Mm. So if we get on board and celebrate them, it's more beneficial for us. Mm. And that's what it is. I feel like a lot of these bigger brands who come into the country or the other brands from outside the country, they look at us and they're like, oh, if we work with this person and this person, our message will be received better because, you know, the country is celebrating this person, you know, and if we celebrate them as well, we are part of the culture. So that's how they are adopting themselves into our culture, mm. by using the creatives as their voice to drive their message in an African or South African way, which is kind of really great, but at some point it needs to, like, you know, it's a conversation for another day where these people need to come to the party and let us do what we do best instead of us trying to adapt what they've got into our narrative. We should be creating our own narratives with what they have instead of, you know, getting a brief saying this is such and such a company, they do 1, 2, 3, and can you take part of what they are into your life? No, let us create our own briefs and our own content and show how, you know, the water company from whatever country can fit into South Africa. Because we also have water in South Africa, but if you're selling bottled water in South Africa, the best way to sell it is in this manner. Mm. You know, I don't know if it makes sense. But all it was is, You never want to get an American company to come tell me how to change an American narrative into a South African narrative.
Yeah.
That's impossible. Let me tell a South African narrative with an American brand name or whatever they're selling. Let me use that to tell my African narrative, you know, instead of trying to adapt what they've already got.
Bro, it's been a great conversation. Thank you so much for pulling through.
I feel like this should have been longer, but yeah.
I feel like we've spoken about quite a lot.
I know, right? I feel like it could have been longer, but yeah, thank you very much for having me, John.
Thank you for making it, man. It's Pioneers vs. Pretenders, and